Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to tell you how much of a privilege it is to have the opportunity to address all of you, especially you graduates today. The Word of God I would lay on your hearts on this graduation day is taken from the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 13, beginning at verse 5. We read, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?' Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever." Thus far the word. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, our enduring hope, dear graduates of Emmanuel's High School and College and Seminary, dear parents and members of the Emmanuel community, in our era of ready access to the whole world through the internet, the innocent browser who gets online, perhaps looking for a recipe or for the latest sports scores, is likely to be bombarded by those sensational little pop-ups, these little micro-announcements that are purely designed to distract you from the main page and lead you to something that is probably a very slow loading and pointless waste of time. Beyonce has a new hair color. You won't believe what her boyfriend thinks. These little bits of useless news are commonly called clickbait. And I'll admit that there is one genre of clickbait that I am just a sucker for every time. It is that whole variety of pop-ups or windows that scream about classic muscle cars that have been found in some barn somewhere. I'm sort of hooked on old Fords and Dodges and Pontiacs. And truth be told, when I was 18 and heading out of high school for the very last time, I had this sort of fantasy in my mind. And it was a really detailed fantasy. You see, the day after my graduation, I was supposed to travel straight from my hometown of Mankato up to Ketchikan, Alaska. I was supposed to meet up with a couple of acquaintances there, and we were going to get great paying jobs and make a lot of money. But that wasn't the fantasy part. That was supposed to be the reality. That was the plan. The fantasy, and I'm not sure I've ever shared this story before, the fantasy was this, that during my time up in Ketchikan, which is a tiny town on an island in the Inside Passage of Alaska, I would, with my cash-laden pockets, one day stumble across an old weathered shed, and in that shed, under layers of dust and cobwebs, would be a 1967 Pontiac GTO. In perfect condition. With the V8, with the 3 2-barrel carburetors, burgundy red, and only a few thousand miles on it because, hey, there are only 40 miles of road on the island. And for some reason, nobody else would be interested in this car. It would be all mine. Now, wasn't that a great dream, a great ambition to have rattling around in my head as I strode across the front of the church in Mankato to receive my diploma? Well, as it turned out, the whole scheme collapsed literally on the day of graduation. And I never got to Ketchikan to make my fortune. But that change of plans, I'll get to that in a minute. That's the second thing I want to talk about. The first thing is this. And it's going to sound a little preachy. And honestly, I didn't know about the reading from Timothy that you just heard a few minutes ago. So it seems like we're doubling down on the covetousness thing here. Sorry. But I suspect you needed to hear this passage a little less than I did 40 years ago. And yet, sadly, all of us need to hear it. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. I know that something that hangs over many of you at this moment, as you move on from your years here at Emmanuel, is the realization that whether you're going to simply go home and settle in and get a job for a while, or that you expect to start at a university next fall, or that you're going to travel the world, or that you're going to take a call into the pastoral ministry, what is to come is going to be very different than your experiences here at Emmanuel for the last few years. And you may be concerned about getting a little out of balance in those new environments with those new pressures and challenges, that you might get off center in the vortex of things and spin out of control. Will my faith stand up? to the tests I will face? Will my goals and my priorities survive the future intact? And the answer to that depends a lot on, of course, what your priorities are. Let's face it, finding an old Pontiac in a barn is a pretty stupid thing to set as your life's ambition. I'm pretty sure that Jesus was talking specifically about old muscle cars when he said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy." Think about a Pontiac sitting just a few hundred yards from the salty mist of the Pacific Ocean. And you can see why that's a big issue. But Jesus was also, of course, talking about our desire for what? Fashionable clothes. Having a lot of Facebook likes. Getting the latest electronics. Or, as many of my own college students will write in their self-narratives, my goal is to get good grades in college and land a well-paying job after graduation. I'm an English professor, and I'm still not sure if well-paying is the right term or if it's good-paying. As you well know, while there is absolutely nothing wrong with having or seeking things like these things, when they become clickbait to us, when they start to distract us and cause us to take our eyes off the main web page where we're supposed to be, they can derail us for an afternoon or even for a lifetime. We don't want that to happen. In fact, even our more noble and legitimate aspirations, service to our fellow man, service in the Lord's kingdom, finding a spouse, settling down, starting a family, any of these good things also are fraught with challenges and temptations and possible derailments. So who's to say that our own desires, our own inclinations aren't going to get us lost? So what's to do? As you take the next step in life, realize the value of that which you are taking with you today. Let's back up to that. I know I'm only this far into the text, but let's back up. We read earlier, be content with such things as you have. And what you have, as you move on from Emmanuel High School or college or seminary, what you have received is so precious, so powerful, and it is so rare in this world. You have gained a knowledge of the living God. No counterfeits, no denials, but the living God. And you have come to know Him as your Savior. Your greatest possession, your greatest asset, no matter where you're going from here, is the God that is. And that knowledge, which is rooted in the Word, is able to stand up against the half-truths and the lies and the godlessness that you will certainly encounter in the university classroom or in the public forum or in the daily workplace. But also remember that you have gained this possession, this asset, by grace. Wasn't any of us that chose it. It wasn't any of these guys that pounded it into your head. It was the Lord, Holy Spirit, working through His Word and Sacrament to call you to Him, to train you up in Him, to nourish your faith and your spiritual life. Being equipped with that, you can certainly hold your head up as you go on. Our text goes on, "For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Interestingly, these words are taken from one of Bible history's great graduation moments. Can you think of what that is? They're spoken twice in the Old Testament that I'm aware of. And the first time they appear on the page, they appear near the end of Deuteronomy. So you might infer then, or might draw the conclusion, that it's the Lord speaking to the Israelites as they are about to cross over the Promised Land, cross over the Jordan, and begin the conquest of the Promised Land. They were words that were spoken in encouragement to the whole congregation of Israel, as I am offering them to all of you at this moment. But all you have to do is turn two pages in your Bible, okay, three, to the first chapter of Joshua, and you find the same phrase stated again, only this time directed specifically to the man Joshua. "I will never leave you nor forsake you." In a way, it's a little bit like baptism and the Lord's Supper. The Lord coming and personally laying His hands on you and said, "Look, it's going to be okay. I'm with you. And there's nothing that can drive me away from you." And that's what's been going on here all these years. In rich detail, through the imagery of Scripture and the doctrine you've learned from Scripture, you are being equipped and have been equipped. Through the clear-eyed worldview that Scripture has given to your education in history and language, in science and technology, in politics and society, the Lord has been equipping you to make a step over the Jordan on your own. And that is so exciting, because you can go on and say boldly, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" On the day of my graduation, my sophomoric dream of finding a hot car on a cold island evaporated like coastal fog. And so, undoubtedly, will a few of your dreams and expectations as time goes on. It just happens. But may you come to thank God for all of life's surprises and unexpected turns. May you thank Him not only for the dreams realized, but the dreams that He reconfigures along the way. May you thank the Lord for the odd left turns on the highway of life, and for the baffling conundrums you will sometimes face. Because even at the most barren times in your life, I promise you, your Redeemer is still with you, and He is simply mapping out a lifetime of opportunities for you to honor and glorify Him and live out your life in His kingdom now and into eternity. You see, as our text says at the end, Jesus Christ doesn't change. His truth and His love and the power of His Word upon your hearts cannot be defeated. One last word for you today. Take a look around as you leave here. I know you will. And think about those people who have instructed you, admonished you, mentored you, and guided you in and through the Word. Professors, instructors, ILC staff, Messiah's pastors, your own parents certainly, and your own pastors. Nobody made any great fortune in this endeavor of educating you to go on. Nobody gets any great worldly honors for graduating you. What they have done is they have faced the same challenges and aspirations that you have now. They've been through it. And it's because they have come to know that the Lord's faithfulness is amazing and never ending that they were willing and eager to labor in the Word and share it with you. And I hope that you too will find every opportunity to labor in that Word and share it with others. Ultimately, they all hope to graduate with all the saints to an eternal home in heaven. And so do you, don't you? Isn't that the great goal? Isn't that the main screen on your monitor or on your phone? So amidst all of the distractions that life will throw your way, all the clickbait that's going to pop up, remember what you already have. And keep your eyes on that screen. And set your hopes on an everlasting treasure. In Jesus' name, amen. We conclude by singing the last three stanzas of the hymn in the bulletin.